me how only has to be like him.
Amen. It's good to be here, isn't it? Sister Browning asked me to thank everyone for their prayers, for the passing of her wonderful husband, as she put it. So very much appreciated. So thank you on behalf of her. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can be here tonight. Father, we've gathered together again according to your word, Lord, because we are believers. Lord, we believe you'll come tonight and speak to us. Lord, we're not here to put on a show or to be seen or to be heard, but Lord, we just want to, we ask that you would minister to your bride, Lord, that come and give us what we need again tonight, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to recognize you in a greater way, to love you more than we do even now, that when we leave here, we see you clear. We see more light on the word, and we recognize Christ today. I'm only asking, Lord, for what we are. We can ask in confidence, Lord, knowing this is your promise to us. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to be with the ones who aren't here tonight, Lord, for whatever reason they couldn't make it. Lord, just be merciful in each situation. Lord, don't let Satan destroy people's lives. Lord Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen. If you're turning your Bible to Isaiah, the 8th chapter, we're going to read about 3 verses, 8 and 13. Now I have to tell you about something. I got excited today. I was at work. I was thinking about tonight's service. And I started getting happy because tonight, it's not going to be one of those, like it's been recently, it seems just ripping and tearing. Tonight it's going to be like just lifting up. This is going to help us to recognize who we are, where we're at, where we're in time, the word today. And we're gonna recognize, hopefully more than we do right now, that just exactly what's going on. This is going to be like, you should walk out of here just on top of the world. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer, not so good. But if you're a believer, I think you're going to be very encouraged tonight. I am already, and I'm kind of excited. Let's read this. Isaiah 8 and 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. You may be seated. Listen to what it says. Sanctify the Lord himself. Himself. Make sure it's him. And let him be your fear and let him be your dread. You have nothing else to fear. You have nothing to dread. Anything. Let him be in control. He's got a control. He's got everything under control. You don't have to worry about anything. Let him take care of it. Make your reverence towards him. Make sure you fear him. Put him first and everything else goes second or third or wherever it is. Let him be your sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place of rest. A sanctuary is where you can go when you're tore up about something. You can go to your sanctuary. When the enemy comes against you, go to him for your sanctuary. Let it be him. Don't go looking for some worldly pleasures, worldly comfort, or worldly something other. And I'm not talking about you don't go and enjoy things and your family and eating and all the things you do, because that's what God gives. You just make sure you put it in order and say, God, I'm so glad you're taking care of this. You're giving me this blessing. I'm here enjoying this life because this is what you gave to me. Let him be your God. Let him be your God. Just a second.
Is he Jehovah to you? Jehovah Jireh supplies all my needs. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, he heals all my disease. He takes care of me. He takes care of me. He takes care of me. It's all in his hands. Remember, I made this comment. I heard it and I thought it was so great. He said, how you respond to troubles is what you believe about God. When something happens and I decide to take matters into my own hands, that proves what I believe about God. Is he really Jehovah Jireh to me? Is he really taking care of my needs? Or all of a sudden, he's not doing it the way I want him to, so I got to take control again. Just hang on, God. That's not the way I like it. I got this. Well, I would never say that. Really? Then what about all the complaining and whining? When you're whining and complaining, it's you're saying, God, you're not running the show right. Let's get it together. I don't like the way things are going. Let's come and come. Now you say, well, you're supposed to agree with everything. What about all the bad stuff? You don't have to whine and complain about stuff just because you don't agree with it. I am so far off of what I was planning on preaching. This isn't what I was expecting at all. This all right. It's still true. Let him be God. Let him be your everything. Let him take care of your problems. He said he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Why? They would not allow him to be their sanctuary. They said, we got this. We got this. We know the law. We're keeping the law. We don't need this one who comes walking down as this humble little nobody. He said, be a trap, a snare. It's where you catch an animal in a trap and you can't get out. And you all of a sudden, I can't get out of here. I'm trapped in this religion and I can't get out. Why? Because the only way out is through Jesus Christ, and I don't like him. Well, they would never say that, Brother Phil. No, they wouldn't. But their actions speak louder than their words. Yes, indeed. And they're trapped in that. It's like they're holding on to that and they can't let go because they love it too much. And they know Christ, there's eternal life. But man, I can't let go of this. And I'm just trapped by my own desires. Why? He's a stumbling block. He's a stumbling stone. He's a snare. He's a rock of offense. What is this rock of offense, brother and sister? It's Jesus Christ. He's coming, and he came, and they didn't like it, and they stumbled over this. Why? Because that rock was the revelation of God in flesh. And that is the most offensive revelation to human nature that there is. Because you know what human nature does? It says, I don't want to be humbled to this. I don't want to be subject to that. I don't want that to rule over me. That's not going to have the leadership of my life. That's not going to take preeminence in my life because why? I am too proud. That's too humble. And Jesus Christ in flesh is too humble because the only time that God can manifest you, Jesus Christ in flesh, is when you humble yourself and let him do it. And then the people see that and they look at you and say, Brother Phil, you think I'm going to listen to that kind of preaching? It's a stumbling block. Who do you think you are? I think I'm a bride of Christ. That's who I think I am. But that causes me to humble myself and say what God wants me to say. And that hurts feelings. Yes, it does. And people stumble over that because they don't want to be that humble. That's been the biggest stumbling block, the biggest thing that keeps people from going on with God is God in flesh, uniting the bride and Christ becoming one, especially in this age. Let's read what Brother Paul says in Romans. He said, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. They saw it and they believed. You know why the Jews couldn't believe? Because they already had their own religion in place. And they were proud of their religion. They were good message believers. They had a nice message church and they loved their message pastor. And he let them be comfortable sitting in the pews. And can't we just have church and be nice to each other? I mean, what more can you ask for? Let me tell you something, brother and sister. This church ain't about coming here and just getting along. This church is about getting ready for a rapture. It's rapture preparation. And it's going to cut, and it's going to grind, and it's going to blow you up out of your seat. But it is going to prepare you for a rapture if you will fall across that stone. If you don't, it will fall on you and grind you to powder. Yes, it will. That's what's going on in this church. If you want a nice, comfortable place to go to church, there's plenty of them around. You just might have to drive a little bit. Oh, yeah, it's easy to be comfortable in a message church. That's why it's called lukewarm. Lukewarm is comfortable. If you're comfortable in here, you're not listening. If you're comfortable in here, you're not accepting what's being said. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit that's feeding on this and saying, amen, that's right, brother. But I'm talking about your own flesh and saying, goodness sakes, why does he have to say those things? Because it's rapture preparation is what it is. We're going to find out here if we can get to it in time. We're going to find out that we are so close. Man, that's exciting. Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, who do men say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. However, he said, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have the exact words. He said, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And other people were going to say, that little man with a bad reputation is the Son of God. We're supposed to worship him? I don't think so. He's not going to rule over us. We wanted him to take rulership. We wanted him. He came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and we said, Hosanna, here he comes. He's going to take over. Hey, Pilate, you better watch out. Jesus is coming. What did he do? He turned around and said, give Caesar what's Caesar's. What? We're still supposed to pay taxes? He ain't going to be my Messiah. Stumbling block, stumbling stone, I should say. They could not accept that to be their king because they had a whole different idea what it meant to be a Christian. They had a whole different idea what it meant to have a Messiah. They had a whole different idea what it meant to be a believer. They had a whole different idea what it meant to have a message church. And it didn't come and play out that way, and they get all stubbed up. They say, I don't think I want to go to church like this. This ain't what I expected. You mean I'm supposed to sit there and let Brother Jerry and Brother Phil just rip me to shreds, and I'm supposed to sit there and I'm being humiliated in front of everybody else? You don't have to. You can choose death. You can choose death. God ain't playing, folks. He's saying, I'm going to have a bride who loves me more than she loves herself. So who's being offended then? The Holy Ghost or you? If the Holy Ghost is anointing and leading us to this ministry and is anointing and leading the people to do what they're doing in this church, who's being offended? Oh. Will you fall across that rock? Will you humble yourself? Say, I surrender. I give up. Take all this pride. Humiliate me. Do what you have to do. But there's nothing that I would give in exchange for my soul. My soul was in God's hands and I'm leaving it there. I will not trade anything for eternal life. No, sir. Can't do it, folks. We've been through too much. What would you do if you fall away now? They stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They stumbled at righteousness by faith, simply believing that this was the Son of God, accepting it. That's all you had to do, because when you do that and you accept that Jesus was the Christ, then you have to accept that he's the king, he's the leader. You're going to surrender yourself. But if you just do it mentally up here, you're not going to do it. It has to be revelation to you. And when it's revealed to you, that is the new birth, Brother Branham said. And you're going to allow that spirit to come inside you and humble yourself, and you're going to become one with him. All you do is believe. It's by faith. It's by revelation. What is a stone? A stone is a revelation. Brother Ram said that stone, the rock, it represents a revelation. And that stumbling stone is a rock of revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you accept that revelation, it will be Christ in you. But if you refuse it because you just don't want it that way, it will crush you. But it hasn't crushed you, has it? You've accepted it, haven't you? See, I told you, we're going to be happy tonight. We're going to have a good time tonight. Why? Because I'm speaking to believers. I'm speaking to people who know what it means to fall across that rock and surrender yourself and let God take control of your life. And you know what happens? The more you do it, the more you fall in love with Christ. And the more you fall in love with Christ, the more you want him. And you do it more and more, and it becomes easier and easier, because that old nature dies and dies and dies. And you keep getting more. And the more you get, the more you want. And pretty soon, you can't wait to get to church. And when you get to church, you sit here, I can't wait to hear what God has to say tonight. Why? Because he spoke to me a lifetime. He's going to speak to me tonight. Why? Because I am a son of God, and he promised to do it. That's where we're at, brother and sister. My. I'm going to have to carry that thing around here for a second. Brother and sister, we know it. We're recognizing. We're recognizing who we are. Why? Because this stumbling stone. Now listen. How do you know this is a stumbling stone? Because look how other people are acting towards it. Look how the make-believers are responding to it. Look how the unbelievers are responding to it. The unbelievers don't even care. Listen to this. The unbelievers don't care. The foolish virgins respect it, even though they don't even know what it is. The believers are full of joy over this. The make-believers are angry. They're the ones who get mad. That's the Bible. That's what the Word shows us, brother and sister. It's the truth. It's the make-believers. It's those Jews who say, we have the law, we have the law. Who is this Jesus? He's destroying our law. He's doing this and he's doing that. He's not keeping the law. He said, I'm the fulfillment of the law. And we got the same thing today. We're message believers. We got the message. We got the message. And we are the fulfillment of the message. We are the proof that the message is true. It's producing Jesus Christ in flesh. And all message believers want to do is, well, I want to go to that message, the church in Dixon. Well, you hear our brother Jerry preaching. You see what they're doing. They got so many problems. We just go and listen to tapes. You hypocrite make-believers. My. Stumbling over Christ in flesh. Well, if I had to act like that, I don't want it. You don't get it then. If you're worried about how you act, is that what the problem is? You're worried about how you're going to act? I wish we'd all act like Brother David then. That's what we need. If we're worried about how we're going to act, we need some humility. Surrender yourself. Be a slave. Let God take control. And you won't care how you act. It's true. What we need is more humility. Instead of trying to, we have this reputation we need to fulfill. We want people to think of us a certain way. That's just human nature. We all do. You know what you need? A little bit more love of Jesus Christ. So I'll be a fool for you. I'll be a fool for you, Christ, if that's what it requires. I don't want to miss the rapture, folks. Peter says this, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Men didn't want it. God says it's precious. He's been rejected down through the ages. God said, this is my son. This is precious. This is my people.
ye also, as lively stones. Oh, brother, you just got put into the equation. Here's the stumbling stone. Ye also are stumbling stones. Because how does he manifest this stumbling stone in this day? See, he was the Alpha, he's the Omega. That original was the Christ in flesh. The end is Christ in flesh. The same thing he was at the beginning in Alpha, he's the same thing in end. I'm going to get happy here for a second. What's the one difference? The human vessels he does it in. See, Jesus Christ is not going to come and walk through this earth in that body that was crucified. He's going to come back and walk through the earth in the body that's currently being crucified. Oh, my goodness. They're crucifying him afresh. How? By rejecting you. You are currently Christ in flesh, the stumbling stone. And they see you. And they hate him. And they hate you for it. Oh, they act like they don't, but their attitude proves it. The way they treat you proves it. They hate God. That ain't me saying it. That's what your prophet said. Oh, they say they believe and they pray to Jesus and we love Jesus and we're message believers, but their action, when they come face to face with Jesus Christ in the flesh, proves that he's still the stumbling stone. You, the lively stones that he's using to fulfill the Omega ministry. It's the capstone ministry, because what was the cornerstone? He built it on that cornerstone. That same cornerstone goes up and becomes the headstone. It's the same Alpha and Omega. It was the beginning. It's the end. It was them. It's us. It's us. I'm reading straight out of the Bible, written how many thousands of years ago. Peter's writing, and you might as well just put your name in there. He is talking literally about you. I dare you to believe that. It will change your life. Let that sink in there. It's not something you need to believe up here. It's something you need to look at, talk to God and say, God, if this is me, you anchor it into. And he will anchor it in. He said, yes, I'm talking to you. My. I knew I was going to get happy tonight. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. It's a house. What? It's the dwelling place of Jesus Christ. His very temple where he dwells. It's you and a lively stone. You walk around and this is Christ. It's Christ. What?
It's Christ.
It can't make it any simpler. Quit trying to figure it out and just believe it. Look at the evidence. And holy priesthood. Had built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's our job, offer up spiritual sacrifices. What is that spiritual sacrifice? Are we supposed to go out back and put some stones together and cut up a goat and burn them on that? No, that's not the spiritual sacrifice. You know what God's looking for? He is simply looking for the right attitude. Yeah, no matter what's going on, you are going to worship God in your attitude. God, this is in your hand. I will not complain. I will not have a bad attitude because things ain't going the way I want. I believe you're in control. I am your child. I will love you. I will not let Satan come and defile my mind with any spirits, because I love you too much. I don't want to grieve you away. And I will give you the sacrifice of praise even when I don't feel like it. That's a spiritual sacrifice. I don't feel like going to church, but you see if you can keep me out of here. I don't feel like singing, but you see if you can shut my mouth up. I don't feel like you love me, but you see if I don't act like it anyways. Why? Because I'm a believer. I'm not a feeler. I'm just telling you what you are. I'm telling you what I am too. And if all you decide that you're not going through, bye! I'm sticking here. Why? Because something has sealed me and I couldn't get out if I wanted to. Boy, that's a good feeling. Amen. I like the feelings.
But I don't go by feelings when they deny what Christ is doing. If the feelings is contrary to what Christ is doing, I turn to that feeling and say, you are such a liar. You think you're going to make me feel bad? Go ahead, but Christ is still true. My spiritual sacrifices, which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He that believeth on him shall go in the rapture. He that believeth on him shall not be disappointed when they walk out of this life. They will step from this body into another body, and they're going to say, I knew it was going to be there waiting for me. Why? Because my prophet told me it would be there. How you doing, Brother James? Amen. Yes, sir. I am not in fantasy land. This is reality, folks. We're going to find out something about this just in a minute. You say, well, people would think you're crazy. Yes, they would. And that's a good thing. Just hang on. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, I hope he's precious to you. He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He came as a cornerstone to be built on, and they disallowed him. He was rejected, and Brother Branham preached going beyond the camp because they threw him out. He was not accepted within their ranks. He was not accepted within the ministry, within the religion of the day, and he is not accepted within message churches today. No, he is not. No, some of them, yes, of course, but the majority of them, no, he's not. He is not accepted. He's been rejected. And just because you go to this church doesn't mean that you've accepted him either. It's an individual walk. And a stone of stumbling and rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. They stumble at the word. What comes? What happens? Brother Jerry, Brother Phil, or Brother Bo, whoever it is, they preach the word and people stumble over it. And they say, I don't think you should do it. I don't think you need to preach that way. I don't think you should run the church that way. I don't like the way this is going on in the church. I don't like the way Brother Todd sits over there with his arm up on the back. He should be sitting there face in front with his arms on his lap like he's really paying attention. I don't like that Sister Maddie's up there doing the sound system because she's a woman and it should be a man. I don't like that Brother Jerry's in Ohio because he should be here preaching instead of Brother Phil. God, I'm sick of hearing Brother Phil. I don't like the way Brother Paul's laughing because he always bothered me. He's always laughing in church. I have heard a lot dumber arguments than that for not coming to this church. And you have too. And some of us have made those arguments, haven't we? Hallelujah. Yeah, Brother Phil, it's true. Preach it anyways. I think I will. This is good for us. Let's just get a little bit of a spirit of humility come over us tonight and see if you don't walk out here on clouds. My, humble yourself. Let him exalt you. Being disobedient weren't you also. They were appointed. They were appointed to it. But ye are a chosen generation. You are chosen for this day. Think about it. The billions of people down through history. You can look back and say, well, I wish I could have been like Brother Paul. He was chosen for that. Look at Jesus. He was chosen for that. Brother Peter, he was chosen. Brother Branham. Stop. Stop. They were not any more children of God than you are. They were not any more chosen for their generation than you are chosen for your generation. You are in the same boat. You are a chosen generation. Why did he choose it? Why are you sitting here tonight? Because he knew that you had a heart that was going to accept this kind of preaching. Bunch of foolishness that it is. The world looks at this. Look at that foolishness. What are you up there screaming, shouting for? I'm pretty sure we'll get up and for 20 minutes just talk to me instead of forcing it, shoving it down my throat. Yes, you would. This would be foolishness to you. But this is what you guys come to listen to. What's wrong with you? You're a chosen generation. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. By the way, that's what I'm calling this tonight, a peculiar people. You oddballs. You're weirdos. Maybe even freaks would be okay. Because why would you sit there in a service like this and smile? You got problems. Why? That you would show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. You've been called to this, brother and sister. You've been chosen for this. Should I describe you? You want to hear what the word says about you? Jesus lived in a world that no one knew about. He was an odd person. He lived in a world of perfect faith in the perfect God in which he was. Yeah, that's Jesus, Brother Phil. If we lived in a perfect faith of a Christian to what we are, we'd be a mystic to the world. You are currently fulfilling that, because the average person would come and sit down and listen for 5 minutes and say, what even are you talking about? Why do you sit there and listen to that guy up there screaming and spitting and going on? And you guys sitting there, this is normal. This is what we do. You're a mystic, folks. This isn't normal. Not to the world. You have issues. The people wouldn't understand you. You ever feel misunderstood? You'd walk in the Spirit. What the Spirit said, you would do. What it forbid, you not do. And you'd be a mystic person to them. That's where we're at. That's being fulfilled. Look in the Scripture, look in the message and say, what am I currently doing? Right there you are. And it's done in such a simple way that we go skate right over the top of it. Because it's so simple. Well, we're just being message believers. Oh, no, we're not. Go to some other message churches sometime. Now, some message churches would get right in here, some people, and they say, amen, this is perfect, this is wonderful. And others would sit right here. And the vast majority of message believers sitting here with a big scowl on their face like, oh, what in the world is going on here? You don't need this because we don't have it in our church. That's the way it is to all believers. They're mystics. What is mystic? A mystical, you don't understand. What's wrong with these people? I don't understand. Why are you talking to them? Why do you say this thing? David, why do you have to get up and act the way you do in church? I don't understand that. Just sit down and be quiet like the rest, well, like some other people. And brother and sister, don't think, well, I had to act like David. Please don't. One David in a county is enough. Sometimes it's too much. But he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know about that. I tell you what, you come up and be the song leader or you be the preacher and you see how many times when David gets up and acts like that, how many times has grieved the Holy Spirit? How many times has it grieved the Holy Spirit? I've been up here many times as a song leader and many times as a minister, and I can tell you how many times that I've been up here and David is going on like that, how many times I grieved the Holy Spirit? Exactly zero. How many times did it grieve other people? A lot. And I'll tell you what, I've sat in that pew some time and been grieved by it. When I was not in victory, I was like, oh, would she just quit? Yes, I have. Guess who got rebuked? It wasn't David, it was Phil. Get over yourself. I'm in control here. If I want David to sit down, I'll quit anointing him. Have a piece of humble pie there, Phil. Okay. It's mystical.
Why? Why do things happen this way? Why, if we had all the stuff that's going on in this church, all the good things and all the bad things, why have we gone through the trials and tribulations and everything? Why? Because God's creating himself a bride who's not going to be understood by the world. You know, some of you should have walked away a long time ago with great bitterness towards God. What is wrong with you? Sister Sue, you should be bitter towards God right now. You know that. You have every right to be bitter towards God. What is wrong with you? I tell you what it is. There's something inside that's holding you there and say, yeah, though he slay me, I'm going into rapture. Yes, sir. This is who you are, brother and sister. This is who you are. My, that just gets to me. I just want to sit over by the corner right now and just think on this a while. Do you realize Brother Branham was talking about me? Peter was talking about me. Jesus Christ was talking about me. Isaiah was talking about me. They all wanted to see this day. You know what they're on? If they're looking over the balcony and they're looking at right now, you know what they're doing? Those saints from way back there, David and Jeremiah and Isaiah, they're looking over, they're looking at you and say, do you realize what's going on? Do you realize what's going on? Oh my goodness, we're watching this happen. You are precious. You are the most precious group of people who've ever walked this earth. Oh, start believing that, and you will stop acting the way some of us act sometime. What is it? Why do we struggle with the things? Because we still have too many doubts if we really are that person. Well, you are. You are. You ever go to try and start testifying to someone? You think, well, where do I start? What do I tell him about? How does he ever understand what I'd be talking about? Why? Because we've gone so far down this road into mystery. Something. And we're getting further and further because the light is separating from darkness. It pushes the darkness back. And we see more light and more light. And we keep stepping into the light. Where am I at? That's the way it is with all believers. They're mystics. People don't understand because they live in a world to themselves. They live in a world to the... I've had my sister ask, what do you do by yourself at home? And sometimes I think, what do I do by myself? But then when you look at it, you know what? What's becoming more and more real to me? I'm becoming more isolated from the world. To live in this world with just Christ in me, where I'm not grieving him all the time, where I'm not just fulfilling the lust of the flesh, where I'm being led by him. We have such a communion that's getting stronger and stronger. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's not just I'm being religious, I'm just doing what make, I'm saying my prayers, I'm reading the Bible, but it's so much more. It's like we have this union, we're together. And I can just talk to him anytime, sometimes, and he's just right there, and sometimes he just starts speaking to me, and it's like, you're right here, aren't you? I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, get there. Goodness sakes, get there. This is what it takes. Listen to what he says. Jesus lived in a world that nobody else could touch. The disciples couldn't understand him. When he spoke, they say this, and then they say that. He said, why are you talking riddles? We don't understand this. How can this be? See, they wasn't in the world that he lived in. They couldn't understand him. Nobody could understand why. They weren't born again yet. That's why he said, except you're born again, you cannot see, you cannot understand the kingdom of God. To get into this mystic world, you must be born again. See what happens if people read this and they go and try to make themselves mystical. It's the most atrocious thing you ever saw. It's ludicrous. People trying to be humble. People trying to put on humble feathers. You ever see it? It's like that crow out there trying to take white dove feathers and put them in himself. Just don't do that. Just be who you are. If you're not humble, don't pretend to be humble.
Get Christ in you. You won't help. You can't help it. It will humble you. Just come to church. If that don't humble you, you're not listening. Oh, my. Don't go out and try to be mystical. Yeah, I this is really one of my favorite people in the world. But you're so religious. You ask him a religious question, and he could not just give you a yes or no answer, little sister. He had to come on some religious roundabout way with all these quotes. And I said, it's yes or no. Is it yes or no? Well, let me tell you what. Brother Bram said this in the scripture. It says, is it yes or no? He will not do it. He's trying to be all religious. You can't put this on and make it stick. You look like a fool. Your sins will find you out. Someone just quoted that to me a minute ago and it stuck. He says this, so when a man lives by faith and walks by faith, I mean substance faith. This isn't something in your head. This isn't something, a doctrine you believe. This is what you and Christ have come to a understanding, a belief, and he's revealed something to you, and you're walking in that. Some people need to get that just to get to church. You need to get a revelation that no matter what happens, I am going to be in church. Of course, the people who need that aren't here. It's true. If they were here, if everyone was here who was supposed to be here, you think God would be preaching that right now? We think he'd be bringing that up? No, he brings up stuff that people need, but that doesn't mean they're here. They're still accountable. He said, I mean such is faith. He is isolated from the entire world. Let me start again. A man lives by faith. Substance faith. He is isolated from the entire world, becomes a new creature in Christ. There, now you're getting into bride material. If you won't isolate yourself from the world and walk in substance faith, quit calling yourself bride. Just admit it. Hey, listen, I just don't care that much. I'm not going to go this way. It's not that important to me. You see, you're getting into rapturing condition now. I told you. If this don't make you happy, what is wrong with you? Look at yourself, recognize where you're at. He says, you're getting into rapturing condition. Then if this is what's happening, and I just told you and proved it how it's happening, we are getting in rapturing condition. We are that close. You know what's keeping us back right now? Well, I thought there'd be more signs and wonders. I thought there'd be more miracles. I thought there'd be, of course, they always did. Don't be fooled by that. Look around and recognize what the Word is currently doing. That's Christ for today. Listen, this is not going to be like a worldwide ministry that goes around the world like with Brother Brown. This is a secret coming of Christ. This is a secret. It's a sneaking away. He steals her away. Why? He's doing this great, mighty work, and we're sitting here watching it, and the whole world is going about their business, totally oblivious to what's going on. And when they see it, they don't like it. It's got to be secret. That's why it's not. If this was really Christ, if this was really the rapture, surely there'd be more happening. Surely we'd see more. What more do you want? You see your own life being changed. You look around, you see other people's lives being changed. And we want signs and wonders? You're seeing the Word being fulfilled. The Word. You can go to plenty of churches and see signs and wonders, folks. If that's what you're looking for, please, by all means, go look. But where do you see the Word being fulfilled? The Word being manifest? That's what matters. There's your proof. There's your vindication. You're getting into rapturing condition now. That means for each one of us, not just the pastor, deacons, trustees, that means for the laity, every individual walks in a world with God alone. Every individual walks in a world with God alone if you're planning on going in the rapture. Every individual. You can't get by on a church experience. You can't get by on just a church walk. You can't get by like I was saying Sunday. I go to church twice a week. What more does he want? You are not going in the rapture like that. You must have a walk where it's you and Jesus Christ. And you know what it is to talk to him. You know what it is to sit face to face with him. You know what it is to have him speak to you. personally. If you don't know this, brother and sister, it's time to get a little bit worried.
That's something to be worried about. That's legitimate worry.
My. Every individual walks in the world with God alone. You're baptized into this kingdom. There's nobody in there but you and God.
Oh, brother and sister.
Did you hear what he said? There's nobody in there but you and God. It's not you and your wife. It's not you and your husband. It's not you and your kid. It's not you and your daddy. It's not you and your pastor. It's just you and God alone. So get over all this other stuff. That's the problem. We don't want to humble ourselves. Just us and God.
We want to take our family with us. We want to take our church with us. We want to just get along with everybody. This ain't about just getting along with everybody.
We should be the tightest-knit group in the whole world. We should have the love of Christ in here so strong that you can't put a wedge between us. We don't even have to like each other. We still should be that way. How dare you allow a spirit to come in here and mess up and cause division and cause strife within this little group, this little body of Christ? How dare you allow that spirit to come in here? You don't have to like a person. You just need to love them.
Sometimes love hurts, and love always brings humility. Because if I love you, Brother Gene, I'm going to do whatever you need. No matter how it makes me feel. If you need me to say something, to do something, I'll do whatever you need because I love you with the love of Christ. And it might make me feel, it might tear me up and say, man, I gotta go help Brother Gene paint his house. I hate painting. Oh. He wouldn't ask me. I didn't have an excuse. I gotta go paint. But you know what's gonna happen? The Holy Spirit leads me. I'm gonna show up and we're gonna paint. We're gonna have a wonderful time of fellowship. Yeah, it's called humility. You humble yourself for the good of the bride, for the good of your brother and sister. You do what they need. It ain't about you. Some of you are getting really good at this, by the way. I just noticed that. Some of us still have a ways to go. I said us, because I'm the chief who needs this.
He said, he gives the orders and you pack them out. He gives me what to preach and I come and preach it. And I leave here knowing that Christ is pleased. Because that's all that matters. Because if I come here, I got to please all of you folks. We're all going to be miserable. What am I going to preach on if I have to keep everybody happy? It's sure nice and hot outside. And that won't make you happy either. He gives the orders, you pack them out. Whatever he says, there's not a shadow down nowhere. You walk right on. If the Lord says this, there's nobody in the world can talk you out of it. You go right on just the same. Now you're coming into perfect faith, perfect perfection that cannot fail. That faith never fails. Yes, he was a mystic to them with his perfect faith. So it is now with those who have perfect faith are a mystic to others. If you're walking in perfect faith, you are a mystic because you are doing things and acting ways and saying things that nobody understands except other people who have that same perfect faith. Well, if you ain't happy by now, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Jesus Christ has come and spoken through this vessel, through this ministry, and said that you are this close to a rapture. We are the capstone ministry, bringing the headstone to the body, the union. And let me tell you this. It's already touched down. We are married. We're bringing forth life. We're bringing forth Christ in this earth. It's there. How much more? How much more time? I don't know. I don't know. But the way I've seen the ministry lately, and as strong as he's getting, it's like he's giving that one last shout. Get in. Get ready. Don't let anything keep you out. You can't, there's no way to describe the misery you will feel if you miss the rapture. There's no way. My. Foolish to the world, precious in the sight of God, walking in the Spirit, misunderstood, laughed at, made fun of. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But he who the Son has made free is free indeed. You are free, brother and sister. That's the church of the living God. That's who sets it up. Do you believe God is setting this up? Do you believe he's doing this? I'm trying to quit here, brother and sister. I have a little bit more, but maybe it's just time to quit. No, it's not quite. I got 5 minutes. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You can't understand it. It's a mystical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes in you. The very life of God comes in you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe, God's own life comes in you. Then you're a part of God. You're a son or daughter of God. Then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. Then you're a new creature in Christ. You believe as God believes. It's his own faith. It's him producing this. All right. Let me get to this one last. Yesterday's manna, Luther's manna would not work for Methodist. Methodist manna would not work for Pentecost. Pentecost manna would not work for today. See what I mean? Every day it comes day by day fresh. And so it has to do in the church ages. Luther's manna was the message of justification. Wesley's manna emphasized sanctification. Pentecost was the restoration of the gifts. But this is introducing the headstone. The Alpha become the Omega. The exact same thing that went down has come back up. It's the same life. It's the same works. It's the same faith. It's the same character. It's the same love has come back. And now currently in the headstone of the bride is Christ. God and Christ. God and man. I'm sorry. Christ and man becoming one. You have been united. You have become one with the Word. It's producing the very same thing. The only difference, like I said, is different vessels. Different human vessels. And you have been chosen to fulfill this Word. This is the day for it. This is when it's supposed to happen. He said, Pentecost was restoration of the gifts. This is introducing the headstone, the last day, the bride tree. It's contrary to all of it, yet it's the same light for the matured. What is the light? It's the light for your day. It's the Word made manifest for your day. That becomes the light. And when you see it happening, you walk in that and you accept it. Even if you look at that and you look at it again, you say, how can it be that simple? How can it be that simple? How can this be the bride of Christ? Surely she's got to be something a little more shiny, a little more big, a little more beautiful, a little more polished to it. Here you are on a Thursday night. A dozen people or so in here. And Jesus Christ is here telling you who you are. He cares. Like the same sunshine today will be ripening the grain for the harvest in July. He was preaching this in December. He said it will be ripening the grain for the harvest in July. It's the same sun. It's the same light. See what I mean? But the light today won't do any good there in July. Why? Because it's not bright enough. The sun wasn't bright enough. And back through the church age, it wasn't bright enough to bring this bride to the light. What does it mean by being bright? It means the Word more and more manifest. The Word shining more in its purity and more in its purity. It gets brighter and brighter. The pure Word producing a perfect bride. More of the Word being manifest. More of the Word. Why? Because the more of the Word we have, the more we surrender, the more it can manifest itself. We had to wait for the message of the hour, the opening of the seals, to be able to produce it. We had to get back to the original Word, and that's what we have now, and that's what's being produced. What they had back then wouldn't produce it. The Word was not pure. Now it's pure. Now it can shine in its brightness. It's stronger. The wheat's more advanced. It's ready to take it. Certainly it is. It couldn't take it then. It can take it now. The season wasn't right then. It is now. And here we see the forecast being made manifest, and the people don't even recognize it. See what I mean? It's been prophesied all the way from way back in the Old Testament, all the way down to here, all the way through the New Testament. All the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, Brother Branham, they're all saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's going to be here, it's going to be here. And Brother Branham said, this is a headstone ministry. And Brother says, people say, well, that was Brother Branham's ministry. Oh, no, it was not. His ministry was to bring the word that would produce the headstone ministry. The word, the spoken word, the original seed, it had to be planted in the hearts of a bride, and that seed had to come up. Oh my goodness. That seed had to come up in a bride. It had to be planted there. Brother Brandon could not manifest that. He was a wee shape, the sheep wave. He said the Holy Spirit through him was demonstrating what's going to happen. That character was in Brother Brandon, not the works, not the prophetic gifts, but the character of Christ now in the bride performing the word for her day. Too simple, I know. I'm going to try and bring something a little deeper next time. Something that will boggle your mind. So, wow, Brother Phil, that was deep. Oh, my goodness sakes. I've never preached anything deeper than I did just now. How much deeper can you get than Jesus Christ in flesh living himself out? And you looking in the mirror of the Word and say, that's me? Brother Phil, you're talking about me. Yes, I am. Let's stand. Amen. I am talking about you. This is you. My. Preaching to the lively stones, the living stones, and at the same time, preaching to the dead, to souls in prison now who have crossed the line. I don't believe a single person in here fits that role. There are people who should be under the ministry of this church who have, because they refuse the ministry. It's just got to be, folks. It's got to be. So just thank God. Recognize what God has done in your life, the grace and mercy to you. And you keep going forward. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you have come tonight and encourage us. Father, we believe you spoke to us and showing us who we are, and I just pray that this would sink in. Don't let it just be something in our minds that Satan can just rip out, or something that goes down a little bit and then the cares of the world take it away, but let it go deep. Let it be found in good ground where the rocks and the thorns and thistles have been torn out and it's been replaced, it's been tilled up. We broke up the fallow ground. Let that seed go in there, and so we stand there and recognize and believe it. And all you're asking for is for us to believe this. That's all. So tonight, Lord Jesus, we stand as believers. And I claim to be a believer, and every person standing here claims to be believers. And Lord Jesus, then we ask that you would come and manifest that we are believers. You have accepted our faith and produced this life in us to a greater and greater and greater extent. Lord, we ask you to do this in your name, Father, believing. Amen. Brother and sister, just one thing. Don't go try to produce this. All right? You're just going to be a stumbling block to yourself. That's what the Jews did. They would not walk by faith. They walked by the law. If I can live good enough, if I can do good enough, if I can be good enough, if I can love enough, I got to go help Brother Gene paint his house or whatever. Don't do that if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. If Brother Gene asks you to paint his house and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go hiking, then go hiking. Brother Gene can paint his own house. Be led by the Spirit. Do you know what that means? Some of you do. I hope all you do. Amen. Don't produce this yourself. You can't. But it's guaranteed if you believe.
Sing through it all. Upon his word. And I-
And Jesus, I've learned to trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Trust in Jesus.